Ladies and gentlemen, what up? What's going on? Another episode, 2024 spring training episode, the American League side. If you want to go check out the National League and what I discussed with the teams in the NL West, Central, and East, you can go back in the archives of the Bleed Blue Show and check it out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all that is in the shebang. But we got to get into the AL West, AL Central, and AL East. I'll start with the AL East, American League East. And we know that Baltimore won the division last year. I'll get to them probably last. Let's see, which way can I do that? Maybe I'll start off with the Blue Jays, a team that is really hard to really read, pick up on how they're going to do. And last year, the Blue Jays, they finished third in the AL East. They won 89 games. I thought John Schneider did a hell of a job, the manager for the Toronto Blue Jays. They actually had some good young talent from years ago that come up through the ranks. And I don't know what 2024 is going to dispel for them. I really don't. And the reason why I believe that or say that is the fact that all the young talent that they have, I thought it would have came into fruition, at least started during the year during COVID. This is a good team on paper. And then it's like one of those things where it has to turn over at some point. It has to, you know? And it's filled with a roster with generational talent, players who are sons of formerly Major League Baseball players. And they just have to find a way to overcome certain teams within the division, specifically the Tampa Bay Rays. But I mean, they have, you know, good talent all around the diamond. I mean, Whit Merrifield, Kevin Kiermaier, he's a little bit older in age, one of the outfielders. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's about 24 right now. He's in the prime of his career. George Springer, who came over from the Houston Astros a couple of seasons ago. Matt Chapman, the former A. Calvin Biggio, the son of Craig Biggio. Bo Bichette, the all-star, I mean, who's the son of Dante Bichette. So these guys got talent, man. They really do. And some of these guys could be doing better or hitting better. But it all starts with between, you know, out of the generational talent of the players that they have. From the batting side of things, is Bo Bichette and also Vlad Guerrero Jr. It really starts with those two guys in particular. Now, George Springer, who was a guy who got the big contract after winning World Series with the Astros, I see a little bit of a difference in his game, per se. You know, maybe he lost a little bit of a pep in his step. The product of New Britain, Connecticut. Very good baseball player. Very sound baseball player. But he's not as hitting as well like he was during the years with the Houston Astros. So between Bo Bichette and then whatever they could get with competition at DH this spring training, I don't know who. It could be anybody out there for all I know. I know for a fact that Matt Chapman, George Springer, Kirk Kiermaier, the former Tampa Bay Ray, Bo Bichette, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. These are guys that are going to be locks in the lineup. They're going to expect productivity out of these guys. Vlad Guerrero, I thought, would have been hitting well over 290. Last year, he did not. But he's their slugger. He's a guy that will probably get close to 100 RBIs. He's just like his dad. You know, he's a very good power hitter. He'll hit doubles. He'll hit, you know, for average when he can. And then, of course, he has the pop in his bat. Bo Bichette is this kind of the same guy who's more of a better power hit for average type of guy. And these guys lead the both of the team as far as getting the most bases on the squad. But, yeah, they're just going to have to see where they could pick up on where they are from last year. I don't know what the general manager, Ross Atkins, is going to do to up it from the farm system or trades down the line. They were in the middle of the pack in the division, but they were behind the Rays and the Orioles. And would that change in 2024? I was riding away for a while. I'm kind of losing steam. And maybe I shouldn't. I shouldn't give up so quickly. But the competition has gotten better within the AL East. So I will discuss that. And then when I look at the pitching side of things, I talked about it, I think, a couple of weeks ago with Chris Bassitt. Who's older in age, had a very good season. 16-game winner. Got you about 200 innings. Him between Jose Berrios and Chris Bassett, these guys did very well. Gausman as well. He's a guy who strike out a lot of guys. Maybe Kevin Gausman could get maybe more, maybe in that second part of the rotation for them. That's their 1-2-3 punch right there. So I think they're pretty okay there with between eating up innings, striking out guys. They'll give up, they're susceptible to the home run. The strikeouts over nine is pretty damn good. You know, between 8 and I say 10 between the three of them all together. But yeah, I mean, they have the starter pitching is pretty decent. I'll give them that. You know, I think they'll do okay. The bullpen outside of Eric Swanson, you know, they got to step it up. The guys who are going to fill in the gap from last year. That's where they kind of did. They did pretty good, but there were other teams that were just simply better. And it just happens to be the thoughts of what's happening in the AL East. It's the same song and dance. You know, you throw in the pitching is pretty decent. The bullpen is pretty decent. The hitting is good or underachieving. They just got to win more series and win more games versus their rivals. And that's how it has to play out for the Toronto Blue Jays, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, going on to the Boston Red Sox, they finished last in the AL East last year. This is a team that needs a lot of help. Not a terrible, terrible team, but just, like I said, the AL East, as you can saw with the results last year, just simply good. Pretty much top to bottom. They did, when they brought Justin Turner in last year from the LA Dodgers, he's a veteran player, been around for a long time. He hit well last year with 23 home runs and batted around 275. They got some good play out of their young center fielder, Duran, last year, close to 300. He's going to steal pads and get on the base pads. And they kind of lacked that last year with the speed because he was pretty much the only one consistently getting on the pads and really stealing bases. Everybody else was just, stationary for the most part. Between him and, of course, their best player or their best offensive player, Rafael Devers, the third baseman. This guy is an all-star. He's probably a top 30 player in the MLB for sure. He hits to all parts of the park, and he had 100 RBIs last year, 30 home runs, batted 270. They traded Verdugo to the Yankees. But they're going to need a lot, man. And they definitely will, man. So within the AL overall, you know, they weren't a team that struck out a lot. They actually was a good hitting team in the AL. They were top five in the AL in hitting and total bases. But what the hell happened to the Red Sox last year? Obviously, well, if they were doing okay offensively, what the hell happened? Well, obviously, it has to be the pitching, right? So, between Chris Sale, who's gone, and they had Paxton and Cutter Crawford, these guys, this is where they got to kind of make up for all that. They added, when they brought in Corey Kluber for a little bit, he played like 10 games or something like that. Brian Bello, Crawford, I'm just thinking of their rotation, Chris Sale and Houak. These guys cannot keep guys off the base paths, man. I mean, they had a ballooned up ERA. They gave up a lot of hits. they weren't inning killers, so they were deep into their bullpen, going to Schreiber and Josh Winkowski and Brendan Bernardino. So this is where the area they have to improve while they're at in Fort Myers, strengthening their team for the 2024 campaign if they're going to have any shot of competing. So I didn't watch any since spring training has started. I haven't seen pretty much most of the teams. It's hard to keep up a lot of it because of the split squad situation, obviously, every year. But the Boston Red Sox have a lot of holes, especially on the pitching side of things. And how they're going to correct that, who knows? And how that's going to carry over into the 2024 season. Listen, and I'm speaking from a perspective of an objective observationalist of these rosters, right? The fan in me says totally different for obvious reasons. The more the Boston Red Sox can stay at the bottom of the AL East, the better society is going to be. I'm going to roll with that as well, man. So hopefully they are out of the way. Like, I hope all the rest of the teams will be out of the way, because the New York Yankees, who I will discuss next, is a very big if on how they're going to improve things. And to improve things, what was really interesting was, like I said, the Verdugo trade between two teams. Don't see that too often, but that has happened. You saw Juan Soto leave the San Diego Padres to the Yankees in the trade and give up on a lot of players. You heard a lot of episodes on the Dugout over the past year, whether it was post-game situations or just, you know, catching up on weekly baseball. The team was a terrible hitting team in the damn AL. I mean, they were bottom of the league of that. They were the true antithesis of home run or die. And I hate that. You already know I hate that. I am always a guy to put guys on the pads, driving runs, hit homers if necessary, but put the ball in play and put pressure on the opposing pitcher. And then when Gleyber Torres, if he's your leading hitter, things are not pretty good. Although it should be good for him because he should be improving. He should be a guy at his prime 26, 27 age, should be over 280 as we expect him to be. He has enough at-bats. He has enough power. But the guys don't have enough runs to drive him through this home run or die shit. But the Yankees added the home run. I mean, they probably added the best generational pure hitter in our lifetime. That would be Juan Soto. So I am excited to see how that is going to fare. I mean, when you look at his numbers, Juan Soto, even as a Washington National before he went to the San Diego Padres, I mean, he was putting up Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, that level of category of player numbers. And it's going to be exciting how they're going to pitch around, you know, between him and Aaron Judge and hopefully a healthy Anthony Rizzo, who, you know, just fell through the wayside, didn't even play 100 games last year. So Soto, adding him into the middle of the lineup definitely helps. It's an older team, especially with the guys they usually used to rely on. And, you know, LeMahieu, who's kind of took a step back. He's been a very good utility player. I probably play more third base. So you throw him at second and fill in at first if guys are injured. And Rizzo, he's got to stay on the field. And if that's that option, I mean, they love having him. He had the home run pop early on and he got hurt. And it was pretty much all she wrapped. And, of course, Judge was hurt a lot last year and trying to overcome that. And that's where a lot of fans were fearful of because of the MVP season that he did have. Things like that, when you cross 30 years old, that you may lose a little oomph in your bat or your performance. But they chose the contract, which I'm not against it at all. Keep making him a lifelong Yankee. You've got to get championships at this point. So in between Aaron Judge, Soto, Rizzo, LeMahieu, I mean, where else do you go in the line? Are they going to get any more production out of the kid from Jersey? Anthony Volpe is a young kid who has a lot of energy. Want to see him up the batting average, probably about a good 50 points. He's a kid that, you know, he did well on the pads. He has nice speed. I think he led the team in stolen bases as well, you know. So, you know, Giancarlo Stanton got to stay in the lineup, a guy that's always hurt. He was hurt as much as Rizzo last year. I don't even count his productivity because I expect him to get hurt, and that's where I shouldn't be. But that's kind of where we are. But if they're healthy, I mean, I probably 35% of the games, just being on the lenient side of things with Soto, Judge, Stanton, Gleyber Torres, you know, the batting, you know, is poor. It really is. A couple of seasons ago when these guys were hitting very well, that has greatly diminished. And then when you look at the pitch and everything, was Gerrit Cole and the rest of the cast. That's pretty much what it was in 2013 with the Yankee pitching. I mean, Gerrit Cole had a fantastic year last year. Not his fault that some of those games were left on the table because the Yankees couldn't hit. He did exactly what they needed out of him as a pure ace. He got that was his, definitely his best season as a Yankee. He struck out 200 plus batters. He pitched over 200 innings. Was 15-4. ERA was phenomenal at 2.63 ERA. But he needs help. He definitely needs help. And I think with that Rodon signing from the San Francisco Giants did not pan out like they did in year one. He didn't even play until after the All-Star break when he went to Colorado. So they are expecting things out of him. And then you all know the situation with Herman, with his off-the-field circumstances. And then Severino's no longer on the squad. And, of course, Clark Schmidt. You know, it's everything after Gerrit Cole is the big question mark starting pitching-wise for the Yankees, man. They gave up a lot as far as the trade to the San Diego Padres, Michael King, you know what I'm saying? You know, Peralta, who came over years ago from the Giants, and Clay Holmes. He was able to get them saves early on in the year last year. The bullpen was pretty all right, but, you know, hopefully, you know, guys like Nestor Cortez, who I do like, was just, you know, hunkered down with injury as well. I mean, this is an injury-riddled squad it was last year. And because of that, you know, it was really hard to get them to compete for 100 wins versus the Tampa Bay Rays and the Baltimore Orioles or even the Toronto Blue Jays, man. You know, it's a formula that has not circumference when you think about how Brian Cashman wants to just load up on home runs. And it has backfired, to be quite honest with you. Hasn't worked in playoff runs or as deep playoff runs as they possibly can. And they bowed out due to better teams with better hitting for average and as well as circumstantial hitting as well. But, of course, we are the forum for the fans. This is a KGYR platform. We support the Yankees first and foremost. Of course, we'll be covering them throughout the entire year. But as far as the Tampa Bay Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays, a team, not my squad, but let me down on World Series aspirations as I had them coming out of the AL last year. They ran into a very good, hot, determined Texas Rangers team that took them out. That was very disappointing from the Tampa Bay Ray perspective, which, you know, if you really look at the off-field position or situation with that squad where they are going, they're getting a new ballpark in St. Petersburg, Florida, and they have a lot of excitement to be for that, for their franchise off the field and for the local community. Because, you know, for years we were talking about it on this show, like, you know, they should relocate to, you know, Montreal or Nashville, Charlotte or something, you know, a market that would appreciate the Tampa Bay Rays. And I still think as of right now, because of their stadium situation, are very underappreciated. People don't want to go to baseball games in that stadium during the summer when they could go to the beach or have a barbecue. I mean, that's just kind of way the Floridian rolls when it comes to Major League Baseball, June, July, August. At least it's inside. And if you're going to be inside, it's a terrible ballpark inside. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I liked it when I visited, but, you know, it's not appealing. They're going to get a new stadium to fix that circumstances. So, but they know how to bring up talent. That's one thing they excel at very, very well. The Tampa Bay Rays have, of course, a load of talent. Circumstances that got guys are off the team. The shortstop, Wander Franco, had the issue with the Dominican Republic and his off-the-field shenanigans. And that's going to be, you know, away from the, you know, the things, you know, operationally for 2024. They got two very good all-star level players in that batting lineup. If you want to throw in the third, when you include Harold Ramirez, after Harold Ramirez, is an excellent hitter, very excellent hitter. But I was talking about Yandy Diaz and also Randy Arozarena. I mean, these are cornerstone franchise players that are only going to get better. Yandy Diaz is obviously the peak of his career right now. He hit very well last year. 22 home runs last year, batted well over 330. I mean, this is the type of baseball player I like hitting in my lineup. He's very good first baseman as well. The outfielder, Arozarena as well. I mean, he's flashy. He's exciting. He kind of stunts. He stunt dogs a little bit. He's a guy, he's a power hitter. He hit 23 home runs last year, 83 RBIs. I mean, they got guys all over this lineup. You know, between him, Paredes, who the third baseman, who was very great, you know, with the slugging as well. I mean, they got pop, man. They're a top five team in home runs, and they were the second best team hitting wise. That's a great combo to have. I don't know how your pitching, starting or relieving, is going to overcome that throughout a course of an 18-game schedule within your division. I'm talking to you, Toronto. I'm talking to you, the Yankees. I'm talking to you, the Red Sox. And I'm talking to you, the Orioles. They have a lot of offensive pop in their lineup. They're underappreciated. And, I mean, they're young. They're probably one of the youngest crop of teams in the entire league as well, when you look at it from that perspective. Like Harold Ramirez, Josh Lowe, I mean, and then, okay, Margot was pretty good last year. And then Randy Arozarena, and then Paredes, Isaac Paredes. This is a very, very solid squad. And it was very disappointing that they went out that way. I thought they were World Series easily with this squad. And then also the quality of arms that they were throwing at you. I talked about it with Chris Bassett with the Toronto Blue Jays, and the same thing goes the case with Zach Eflin, who just they have mirror production. You know, 16 game winner, 170 plus innings, struck out 185 plus guys. Tyler Glasnow, they just produce. It's like there's not a lot of pressure out there to do that, and they going to get quality innings. And then in the bullpen was pretty stout too, one of the best in the league. This is why I was kind of riding with them, because if you look at it from a perspective of Kevin Kelly and Jason Adam and Jake Diekman, and then of course their closer Pete Fairbanks. I mean, this is a quality top to bottom batting and pitching conglomerate of a roster in 2023. I have no, you know what? They should win the division 2024. I don't see why not. You know, because they have everything. They do. They really do. They just ran into a bad series versus Texas last year, and then they just wet the bed when it came to that. I don't think they even face pressure, because nobody, their media is not putting pressure on them. Their fans don't even put pressure on them. Tampa Bay Rays baseball is just an experience to go out and just for the day with the family, and that's it. Maybe a couple of beers with the fellas or something like that, and that's it. The fans ain't like Boston. The fans ain't like New York. The fans are just there to just kick it. If they lose, whatever, oh well. It ain't there yet with that crop of fans, because there's a lot of, you know, transplants in Tampa. That's just the way it works, you know? Tampa should finish first if you was to ask me. And we got to give props and homage for coming out of the Dweller back into the limelight, the Baltimore Orioles, who won the AL East. They won 100 and plus games last year. They got MVP candidate types on the squad. I do not think they'll win the division again, but they do. I would not be too surprised. There were some games last year, even against the Yankees, some games versus, you know, what rest of the division. I mean, they were really pouring it on squads, man. They really were, man. As far as runs, they were top five in the league on that. They had good quality hitting, whether it was Austin Hayes, Ryan Mountcastle, the first baseman, Urias, and they probably could, you know, probably wants to do better, right? He definitely has some good, he, as far as the third baseman, you know, better production. Anthony Santander, the outfielder, I think he'll probably stay in right field. They had the slugger, the young slugger, Gunnar Henderson, who I think could take leaps and bounds towards an AL MVP candidacy as well. He actually had a, you know, him and Santander, between the two of them, you know, 56 home runs, both of those guys bat around 255. I think that shit could go up easily in the 260s, 270s between one or two of them. Absolutely. Santander's the older of them. Henderson's the young stud. Ryan Mountcastle is only going to get better as well. I probably think he's going to hit the 22 to 25 home run mark as well. And then if you look at Austin Hayes, same thing, and Adley Rutschman. They just got good balance, pretty good balance. I think it's a tad bit lower than the Rays when it comes to overall talent. Brandon Hyde had them guys playing very, very well. Even a guy I love, even a couple of years ago, I think he could even do better than that. Cedric Mullins, the outfielder. This is a guy, you know, he was kind of banged up last year a little bit with the injuries. You know, the former Yankee as well. If they're going to give him some reps at shortstop, that would be Jorge Mateo as well. So the Baltimore Orioles are definitely positioned to build off of last year and then see what they can do. They also fell to the Texas Rangers as well. The Oriole fans are excited. They're very excited. They hadn't seen playoff baseball probably since Jeffrey Meyer game in the 90s, right? So they a relatively young team like the Tampa Bay Rays, and they should be in a heap of things. And when you look at the pitching wise, you know, they kept the ball. They didn't really give up a lot of home runs. Kyle Gibson, who was their ace on their staff, you know, I don't know if he could duplicate getting close to 15 wins, but he had a higher ERA. But between Grayson Rodriguez and Kyle Bradish, this is Dean Kremer, they have okay pitching, starting pitching, not as solid as the Rays. I'm always going to be a guy that believes in the starting pitcher, believes in it. But the bullpen was definitely good for them last year as well. I mean, if they could build off Bautista, who's an excellent, exciting closer for those guys. He had 33, 35 saves last year, something like that. Cano, Colombe, and Perez in their bullpen. The relievers were pretty good. I got to give it to them. They actually did a good job bringing these guys up and bringing them over. But it's all about getting to Felix Bautista. He's one of the most exciting, I say today, top three exciting closers in the sport right now is Felix Bautista for the Baltimore Orioles for sure. Yeah, and as get over to the AL Central, the American League Central, this is or was the weakest division in the baseball, Major League Baseball. And this is the reason why teams in the AL East, you could get the extra team to the playoffs or the top half of the AL West. Starting with the Kansas City Royals, I'll go backwards where, I mean, obviously, they were at a deficit with their pitching. They were definitely not to make up any ground on the Minnesota Twins, who won the division. They had an aging ace in Zach Greinke. He's probably their second or third best pitcher on that roster. Jordan Lyles, Brady Singer. I mean, they have a lot of work, a lot of work. No guy on that roster won 10 games as a starter. They just don't have it, man. I mean, relief pitching, whether you go to Taylor Clark and Jose Cuas and Carlos Hernandez, I mean, they need a lot just to compete in that weak division. That's the crazy thing, because it would be even worse if they were in the AL East or the AL West. That's how bad it was for the Royals. I don't see them doing anything in 2024 at all. As far as competitive winning the division, don't see that at all. I mean, a guy I do like offensively, you know, he's probably a little bit older now. Salvador Perez, at one point, he was a very, very good dominant catcher. Even last year, he hit 23 home runs. He probably could be on the trading block if they could find some value for him and get something in return for their farm system. Guys like, I think their best player was the shortstop, Bobby Witt. Average-wise, he hit the best on the team with 275, 276. He hit 30 home runs last year. He's a young, exciting player. They're going to try to build up or around him, as well as Garcia, the third baseman, Mikel Garcia as well, who actually played well as well, you know, for hitting for average. They got a good youth there in their lineup. The second baseman, Massey, who did pretty well as well, you know, just can't hit the ball. He's a low average hitting hitter. That's pretty interesting for a second baseman, but maybe they have somewhat a piece of a core with those guys in the infield. And then if you add the veteran Perez, you know, I don't know if he's going to stay around or if they're going to shop him for trade pieces, but all in all, overall, this division is winnable, but I don't think they have anything that says winnable in the AL Central this year in 2024. That would be the Kansas City Royals. I expect them no higher than fourth. It would not surprise most people who watch a lick of baseball to see them finish and last again. Yeah, the other team that lost 100-plus games last year was the White Sox on the south side of Chicago. And another team that had promise, maybe I'll say a few years ago, they got guys that had a hell of, they have very good careers, I would say, but they have not been able to put it all together. They have an up and down pitching as well. Lance Lynn is a guy who played for the USA team, a guy who was a power pitcher, bounced around and all that. I think he was the oldest starting pitcher on that squad, and he was a guy probably gave you 120 innings. It was out due to being hurt and things of that nature. Mike Clevinger, a guy who can eat up innings, has been around for a while as well. About 33 years old. He's older. Another guy that's older. Everybody else is well under 30. Dylan Cease, the starting pitcher, who gave him good quality innings. As far as their team ERA, he was right there in the middle with 4.5. There was a guy like Giolotto, who was pretty good, with a good 3.7 ERA. He only started 21 games. I would say that between Cease, Clevinger, Lynn, they need a lot as well. But the pitching is okay, not the greatest. The bullpen was actually all right. From what I remember, outside of the closer, between Santos and Graveman, Kendall Graveman, if they could shorten some of these games, they could probably win some games in the division and maybe challenge the Guardians and then also the Twins. But it's going to take a lot between the relief pitching that they had and also the starting pitching as well. And as far as the hitting, the White Sox, this is an area where if you're going to be a competitive squad for the 2024 season, you have got to make sure you have the arsenal around Lewis Robert Jr., who's exciting. He was an all-star last year. An exciting talent. He has pop in his bat. 38 home runs last year. Young kid, about 25. 30, batted for like 265. He's a very exciting baseball player. He'll steal you some bases. He will. He kind of does it all. It's good that they have him on that squad, and hopefully they can add pieces around him. They've had guys like, Tim Anderson, and his shenanigans at shortstop over the last couple of years, getting into it with, with other players. They added Benson Yandy from the Red Sox, who went, the Yankees, before that, the Red Sox, the Kansas City Royals, and then adding him last year, he batted like 260 or something. But they have no power. They really have nothing outside of Lewis Robert Jr. offensively to really that's viable threat, and that's a big issue for them. They're bottom of the league as far as team hitting and on-base percentage, slugging, total bases. So offensively, they have a lot of ground to make up. And now, as bad as their pitching has been, it ain't nowhere near the level where the offense needs to be. And that's the biggest issue with the White Sox. Until I see them solve that problem, I don't see anything higher than third place in that division for them in the AL Central. And listen, I gotta say, of all the teams in the AL, and then there's been a couple I could say had some disappointing outcomes in 2023, the Cleveland Guardians come to mind. They really do, because this is a team, to me on paper, they should be in it to win it every year in the Central. I mean, positioned to win it between them and the Twins, right? And the way they bowed out last year, and especially with some of the talent that they do have, I'm a little shocked that they really tanked the way that they really did in the Central. I expected them in Minnesota to go down to the wire last year. This squad, or this core of the squad, it really starts around Jose Ramirez, the third baseman, the power hitter. He's a guy that's done it year after year. It seems like he's been in forever, right? But he's only 30 years old. And a guy who's he hits for average. And I'm surprised that if they don't do something probably by the trade deadline this year, depending on his contract. Of course, a team that's going to be contending would love to have his services at third base. He has power and he has pop. And he's an excellent hitter, man. 24 home runs last year. He played, like, I'll say close to 155, 166 games out of the 162. I mean, he's there pretty much damn near every day. Total bases led the team with that. Him and Josh Naylor, I can't really stand him as a player because he kind of talks a lot of shit. As far as Josh Naylor, the first baseman, he had an excellent year last year. But between those two guys, the shortstop that used to be on the Mets, Rosario, Amanda Rosario, he has good speed. I would have swore he would have, if he would have improved his on base percentage, probably would have stole more bases. But the guy, I mean, they could do a lot of things between him if he upped up his stealing the bases. Jimenez, the second baseman, he stole about 20 bases last year as well, or 30 bases. And Straw, I mean, they got guys that they can manufacture runs, and the guys in the heart of their order, they have the guys that could deliver. That's why I was kind of surprised between Steve Kwan, Jose Ramirez, and Josh Naylor. I mean, they could actually rebound and probably or possibly win the division. They have pieces there where they could play that ball that maybe Terry Francona, the manager, wants to play. They definitely could do it. I really do believe they could do it for sure. And then you look at their pitching with Shane Bieber, who's got very good stuff. And I expect them to play more games after what happened with him last year, due to him being out. Cal Quantrill, Beebe. These are guys could keep the ERA under 4, all three of them. They definitely have that potential to do that, man. If you could get production out of Shane Bieber, who's definitely more than capable, he has very good stuff. As far as pitching arsenal, him and Beebe, they could definitely could carry the load, and if they could stay healthy, absolutely, I believe the Guardians can bounce back and possibly compete against the Minnesota Twins for sure. You know, the reliever pitching was actually not that bad. With Eli Morgan and Nick Sandin. I got to get a little bit more familiar with guys that are coming in and out of their farm system as well. But they have the talent, man. I really believe that because it's the crop of teams that they're playing against more often than not, they should be able to do a little bit more damage than they did last year. The bottom fell out, and I was surprised about that out of the Guardians. And arguably, in the American League, this is one of the teams that kind of shocked me when it came to that. When I think about the Detroit Tigers, the first guy that comes to mind is the Hall of Famer, Miguel Cabrera. A guy, he's all-world, great years earlier in his career with the Marlins, and now triple crown type seasons. Cabrera, I mean, he's everything, Mr. Tiger, Hall of Famer, and then, of course the end of the days are there. I'm not exactly sure how much to rely on him for that roster spot, but this team, I thought, sort of was par for the course, and that's what they ended up finishing. That's why I'm saying, like, Cleveland finishing behind Detroit in the standings was a little shocker to me. I think Cleveland will surpass Detroit this year. I'm not really big on, let's say, everybody, like, the main guys on the roster, right? Once we see Riley Green play more games in the outfield, he didn't play as much. We'll see if those averages or his stats will average out. One of the better players, that's probably not promoted nationally like it should be, like, is Kerry Carpenter. I would say Ibañez, the second baseman. A lot of these guys didn't miss games. The older statesmen, the veterans like Miguel Cabrera and Javier Baez, these are the so-called core veterans on these guys, on this team. But they have between the batting is bottom of the AL, so is the total bases. It's almost like a White Sox situation when I look at it and think about where they've been. They're surprisingly luckily finished to where they were, man. And as far as the starting pitching, man, I mean, I don't think there's anything outside of the ace, Arago Rodriguez. He was excellent last year. Just needs to try to eat up more innings, per se. I think if he could get closer to 180 this year, if he could get 30 starts as well. He should be able to do that. But everybody else on the roster, Michael Lorenzen, who's a veteran on that squad, and Olsen, who's a nice young pitcher. So we'll see if they could get more innings out of those two in particular. But the relieving pitching, the relievers, the better one on that squad is Foley, Jason Foley. I think that where they fall short, of course, is the hitting. I mean, I think this whole division has the same MO as the lack of hitting, not named the Minnesota Twins. But if I was to say where the debate really for me in the Central is who finishes 2, 3, 4, 5, or do you think how much percentage do you put on the Minnesota Twins? But as far as Detroit, man, they're just a reboot mode, man. They're not going to get a wild card spot. They're not going to win the division. I do not see that happening. But if you were looking for some fun times in Detroit in the summer, you want to go to a baseball game at Comerica Park, go at it, man. Yeah, the best balanced team last year in 2023 was the Minnesota Twins. They won the division. They got to the playoffs. They ended up losing to the Houston Astros. This team, as far as I wouldn't call them the best of the worst, because they're actually a pretty good baseball team. I think you would throw them in the AL East, they'd probably be top three. Same thing in the West. So I would give the Twins their just due. The guy that used to play for the Tampa Bay Rays, the manager, Bardelli, Rocco Bardelli, he got these guys playing well. That is one thing for sure. When you look at the Minnesota Twins, they added Carlos Correa from the Houston Astros from a couple of seasons ago to give them a little bit of spunk. They got him the contract. And then as far as his play, he's in the prime of his career. And I think they actually really like to have more production out of him over 162 games. I think he missed 20-plus games last year. But they would like to see him up his average, probably up to 250. But Michael Taylor, the center fielder, actually a slugger in the sense as well. He hit like 20-plus home runs. There are definitely what's his name? The DH, Buxton. He actually had a good season last year. These guys got some home run power in them, home run or bust type of guys towards the bottom of them as far as their averages, but they can hit home runs. Joey Gallo, remember him? He was a former Texas Ranger, went to the Yankees, did not do well, ended up going to the Dodgers. Spent last year, he went to the Twins for the 2023 season. He had, for his standards, he's a strict power hitter. Had 21 home runs last year, but he can't, his average is trash. You know what I'm saying? He's all slugging, man. So they have low end type sluggers on their squad. Nobody that really hits for average, 300 and above last year. Polanco is actually a pretty good defensive second baseman. Then offensively, they're okay. You know what I'm saying? They're all right. They're top five in the American League as far as total bases. But the average for a team that's top 10, it should be better, or top five. It should be better with the batting average. And that's kind of where, they'd be. They did, when I say as far as AL teams, they led the league in total home runs. But like I said, that home run or die should just not fly in the playoffs. And they learned their lesson to the Houston Astros, like all teams learn their lesson to the Houston Astros when you do not hit for average. What's surprising also is, guys like Sonny Gray, former Yankee, Cincinnati Red, a guy that fans hate, and we know Yankee fans hate him because of all the money that they paid and the lack of performance, and he had an excellent ERA in the 2023 campaign. I don't know how long that will last. Pablo Lopez was an excellent starting pitcher. I think he probably was their best starting pitcher last year. He was an inning eater. He went over 10 games. He struck out over 200 people last year. Between Lopez and Gray, they could definitely build on it. They got some guys that could definitely give you quality innings. Bailey Ober and Joe Ryan, Sonny Gray, Pablo Lopez. There's something to work there with as well, man. They do. They have a good closer in Johan Duran. He's a guy probably could get you 30-plus saves next this upcoming season as well. There's a couple of guys in the bullpen that was excellent last year in relief, Pagan and Griffin Jacks. because of the lack of talent on like three of the five teams that I said in the Central, why not the Minnesota Twins to repeat as Central Divisions? Like, what case can you make that the other teams are just going to beat Minnesota unless these guys get hurt, injured, suspended, or whatever? I think Rocco Baldelli is doing the best of a job he can based off his talent. They just can't hit for average. But because they play in the AL Central, I expect them to win the division one more time again. And on and on and on to the last one, the AL West, the American League West. And listen, things are very bad in Oakland for so many reasons, even beyond sports. So to keep it sports, and listen, they have this deal about moving to Las Vegas on the Strip. Seems like the city of Las Vegas, Clark County, Nevada, is stealing professional franchises, sports franchises from the Oakland Bay Area. The Oakland Athletics are another franchise doomed to be moved to to Las Vegas, and they probably could definitely use a fresh start for years. The Athletics and the Raiders were trying to find a new deal for the stadium. It has not drawn fans to come to the ballpark. For the baseball squad, and then you look at it from a perspective of a new stadium deal. They just want to start fresh. People are moving to Las Vegas in droves from all over the country. Fans are not going to the games in Oakland. And listen, it's not just the stadium, but it is a subpar baseball product as far as the construction of a roster, and then to add the fact that they got in away with that Moneyball stuff for years, you know, as far as the analytics of it. And it has caught up to them. It caught up to them very badly. The Athletics are in shambles, basically. I mean, outside of the DH Rooker, I mean, they got, I mean, as far as the slugger, I mean, they got nobody could bat. The team batting average is bottom of the league in the American League. They're bottom of the league as far as getting on base and total bases. I mean, it is last place across the board. And it's unfortunate because I think earlier last year I was watching the Reggie Jackson documentary and the heyday of the Oakland Athletics before my time, and saw how they were winning back-to-back World Series championships early in the 70s. And then also, you know, with the Oakland Athletic team back in 1989 went in the World Series with the Mark McGwire and Ricky Henderson, Dave Stewart, Jose Canseco teams. But, you know, they had a little bit of success in the early 2000s. They had a shot. And then the Yankees, still, to my surprise, getting past Oakland, especially with the Derek Jeter play, the flip play. But nonetheless, this version of the Oakland Athletics is just terrible. I may not even go down the line because I mean, they need an overhaul of all sorts, and especially in the division where you could say at least three of the teams are legitimately playoff contending, including a World Series champion in the Texas Rangers. Yeah, very bad shape. And you move on to the Los Angeles Anaheim of California Angels. They lost the best baseball player on the planet, in the galaxy, the Milky Way, in our lifetime, and Shohei Ohtani going up the freeway to the Dodgers. But they're in a little bit better situation than the Athletics. The Athletics are just terrible across the board as it gets. You know what I'm saying? But as far as the Angels, what to do with Mike Trout? I mean, he's been hanging around for a long time in Anaheim, and I know he may want to go back east where he's originally from. But batting-wise, you know, they need help. They need help in a bad way as well. Not as bad as Oakland, but as far as the Angels, losing Ohtani of course is big because it's both pitching and hitting. You're losing premium at its premium. But yeah, I mean, you know, Trout missed half the season last year. He's getting a little bit older, even though he's like 31 years old. And I like Brandon Drury. He's a decent baseball player, right? But adding, you know, he had a, you know, look, 27, 28 home runs last year, and he batted about 260. He's cool. But they're going to need a whole lot more to compete in that division, man. And that starts with the health of Mike Trout. Just to get them to be in competitive mode for at least third place. They need everything. You know what I'm saying? So they need batting. They need and they could, you know, the supplement or makeup for Shohei Ohtani. I don't know where to get that from, because Ohtani had 44, 45 home runs last year, batted 300, well over 300. The next guy after him was 40 points behind him in the batting average. And that's not really going to cut it in the AOS. It really won't. And then you look at the guys who were pitching on the Angels side of things, and Ohtani led them in wins. So, I don't know, how do you make up for that, man? You know, whether, you know, Anderson, Sandoval, or Detmers, I don't know, man. I really don't know, man. I do not expect the Anaheim Angels to make the playoffs or the Athletics. So we're just going to get cut through the chase one on those two teams right there off the rip. Yeah, the Mariners are an interesting team. They finished third place, a couple of games out behind Texas and Houston, which last year was really crazy in the division, right? Remember, Texas was leading in first place, and they lost the lead to Houston, and Seattle went on the tear and actually overcame first place in the summer, but they ended up giving it up to Texas eventually, who won the division. I say the fact that they have a nice squad. Rodriguez, you know, you see him in the home run derbies. He has a pop in his bat. He's kind of like when I said about Robert Jr. in Chicago, a young stud, 30-plus home runs, 100-plus RBIs at 22 years old, batting 275. Very good. Very good stuff. Teoscar Hernandez, the outfielder, and then Ty France at first base. These guys got some good guys that got some pop, man. They're top 10 in average. You know, I guess in the middle pack in the average, if you want to add it like that. But they do get on base. You know? They'll hit the ball a little bit, something. They'll steal some bases or top five. And listen, Rodriguez was the clear-cut leader on that. I mean, he's the go-to guy. He's Mr. Exciting. And it's like, you know, power, stealing bases. He's almost like second or third behind Ronald Acuna when it comes to that. You know, a young stud. He's 3 years younger than Acuna Jr. in the National League. But the fact that he's stealing bases, hitting home runs, doesn't walk a lot, but the average is definitely there in total bases. Cable is going to be all-star for years to come out there in Seattle. And they just play, if they you threw him in the AL Central, they win the division, obviously, right? When they got Luis Castillo from the Reds a couple of seasons ago, I mean, they offer what they bargained for. And that's one thing they have a strength, probably, I say, 98% of the teams in the AL. The Seattle Mariners have good starting pitching. They have very good starting pitching. George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo. All three of these guys won 12, 13-plus games last year. Each of them were close to 200 innings, so they're going to eat up innings, and that's very good in today's baseball, where everything shortened up for your bullpen. The bullpen was good last year with Andrés Muñoz and Justin Topa. Their next step is to win the division, or at least somehow make up the two games last year that they lost. I like the Seattle Mariners. They're trending definitely in the right direction. They just happen to be in a division that's very top heavy with the two Texas teams. So I expect them to compete for the AL West. You know what? Let's go fuck it. Let's go with it. Let's fuck it. Let's go with it. Seattle Mariners win the AL West. We're going to go there. We're going there. Seattle Mariners win the AL West. You heard it first from Steve. Absolutely. The Seattle Mariners. It is their time to climb the AOS. Absolutely. Yeah, and I misspoke. I was wrong, right? Houston did win the division. I forgot, because Texas won games 6 and 7 on the road in the ALCS to go to the World Series. But the Houston Astros come back with their core guys. You know, this is a championship baseball squad. They've had the scandals and all that a couple of seasons ago with the trash cans and shit. But nonetheless, let's be honest. They're a very solid baseball club, unfortunately. They got Hall of Famers on their squad, professional hitters on their squad, and this between Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez, the slugger, Kyle Tucker. For years, Alex Bregman was in that conversation, he still hasn't really slacked off. I mean, a lot of these guys are between 28 and 33, 34 years old of age. They got everything, man. They hit for average, they get on base, they You know what I'm saying? They they'll steal some bases. They'll drive in runs. It's almost as close of a complete team you can get. And they should be a little bit of motivated. I talked about it last year. We needed to see that rivalry flourish. I had talked about that last summer between the Rangers and the Houston Astros. I don't see how any this season with Dusty Baker, you know, is any different. You know what I'm saying? Passing the torch after his, going away. But they have everything. You know, they got a good catching. They brought in, Verlander for another stint after he got the trade from the Mets. But they got good guys that can get it done, man. JP France, they had it last year. Javier and then Valdez, who will take the mound. These guys eat up innings. They strike guys out. They definitely were pretty high, you know. And in the bullpen, of course. The Houston Astros bullpen, I mean, these guys are, it's all about getting to Ryan Presley, from the middle relief was pretty solid with Brian Abreu and Hector Neves. I mean, it is as good as it gets when it comes to the AOS. I hate to say it, and I said Seattle is going to win the division. But never count this. See, the Astros, the thing about the Astros, their whole thing is about doing it all in October and winning it all. I don't think, if they don't win the division because they fell one or two games short, they're not going to trip. Their whole thing is about writing the legacy, adding on to the World Series count. So, we shouldn't expect anything different from the Houston Astros. So, if they finish first, I would not be surprised. I think Seattle is trying to get past them as far as that, as well as Texas. So, yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. And last and certainly not least, the World Series champions, the Texas Rangers. Listen, they got hot, entered the regular season, went through Tampa Bay, went through Baltimore, beat the Houston Astros in Game 6 and Game 7 on their home field to go to the World Series, and they took out the Arizona Diamondbacks with ease. And it was a long time coming, man, because it's one of those situations for me is like you never seen them win it, and it was the first time they actually – see them get that win. And I remember they went to the World Series and lost to the Cardinals when Ron Washington was there, right? But they finally did it. This is the free agent additions that they got and the trades that they made last year helped them get to the point, and they really put it on, man. And Bruce Bochy is a hell of a manager. We got to give him credit. Definitely got to give him credit. And it's the same cast of characters because Corey Seager, who came over from the Dodgers, stud season last year. I think he is starting the season off on the injured list. We'll see how that's going to go whenever he gets back with his timetable. But 30-plus home runs and 90-plus RBIs, batting close to .330. Marcus Semien, another guy who's got pop in his bat and RBIs. And then, of course, Adolis Garcia, 40-plus home runs, 100-plus RBIs. I mean, this team is loaded when it comes to the home run ball. Batting average was tops in the league. I mean, they got it, man. They got it. Between them and the Houston Astros, is going to be a good Texas rivalry offensively in the state of Texas, for sure. Dallas and Houston is definitely going to have it popping. Josh Jung is a very good third baseman. I do like him, and he had a solid season offensively, and they got guys, man. Solid defensive baseball team as well. I like their chances. I thought Eovaldi did a good job last year, especially in the playoffs for them. Got Jordan Montgomery in the trade from the St. Louis Cardinals. But, the Andrew Haney experience was working as well. He started some games, and he had a couple of down seasons prior to that. John Gray, Dane Dunning. Andrew Haney, Nathan Eovaldi, Jordan Montgomery, and Martin Perez. I mean, they actually have some good quality arms as well, man. They definitely did, man. And then, Will Smith, as far as closing the games, did an excellent job as well, the relief pitching, I wouldn't call it the weakness, but and this area of the team is mid, is high, but the Texas Rangers have definitely a good shot to win the division again, obviously, right? But I don't know if they repeat. I do not think they repeat. But they are going to be fun. They're going to be fun to watch. Stacked with offense, bats, good starting pitching. And they get in a dual-back from the Mets, right? Jacob DeGrom. Because he damn near missed the entire season last year. So you could might as well add that to the shebang as well. So, yeah. So that is it for the American League. We did all 30-plus teams between the 2 weeks, National League and American League. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, man. Going to be a fun 2024 baseball season throughout, covering all the squads here on the Bleed Blue Show. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed Blue.